ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो शुभ आरम्भः जातः शुभारम्भः जातः जॉस्पीशियस् बिगिनिङ्ग् हेस् हेपन् नौ ओके विल् स्टार्ट् वित् तत्त्वबोध टुडे एण्ड् होम्वर्क् ऐ टेल् यू दिस् गणपति अथर्वशीर्षोपनिषत् वि बीन् चाण्टिङ्ग् फार् मोर् देन् 12 इयर्स् And then I unfolded the meanings of the whole Upanishad in 2007. And there were some notes also available on the website. Because it was not properly transcribed. Again now, recently, the complete notes has gone onto the website. The homework is, see all of you, every word has been explained. Please see that all of you take those papers and then study. I really want to understand. I'm going to see when you chant the mantra, when you say Om Namaste Ganapataye, you must know meaning of the word Ganapati. You must know Namaha. Like that, every word you must know. So all notes, elaborate notes, has been given there. You can find it on the website. Everything has been transcribed and given. So please take the note, see that every mantra you understand. At least 10 first half of the Upanishad, come study and come next week so that you will know. Okay. Now let us read the Tattva Bodha. Tattva Bodha, I wanted to just every class when you go back, you see that you are thorough with what is being taught in the class. So next class, you must be thorough with the text. Now, the prayer verse.
वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदम् गुरुम् मुमुक्षूणां हितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते
and I gave homework to read how many pages? Okay. I changed the homework, okay? Today onwards. Homework you have to begin from page number 4 to you have to read page number 4 onwards. Homework. I already explained to you. 4 to 14. Homework. Now we'll read the first sentence. And I said, Tattva Bodha, you all know very well knowledge of the truth. You have heard this word, these words, Jnanam, which is a neuter noun. Vidya, feminine noun, and again you are learning another masculine noun, bodhaha. Vidya, jnanam, bodhaha, all these words mean the same. Bodhaha also means understanding. So, tattvasya bodhaha, tattva bodhaha, knowledge of the truth. And this text is gadyam. Gadyam means prose, a prose text. Except the benedictory verse, the rest of the text is in the prose form. In prose form. So I'm reading the first sentence. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam मोक्षसाधनभूतम् तत्वविवेकप्रकारम् वक्ष्यामः. So I said at the very beginning, the teacher introduces the subject matter here. He says, "Vakshyamah, we shall speak, we shall expound, we shall explain, we shall teach what prakaram, the mode, the method of discerning the truth. Viveka tattvasya vivekasya prakaram vakshyamah. We'll explain the method of discriminative understanding of the truth. And what is it? It is moksha sadhana bhutam. And which is this discriminative understanding of the truth is actually the means of attainment of moksha. Moksha sadhana bhutam. So, tattva vivekaha, in fact, knowledge of the truth. Tattva bodhaha is tattva vivekaha. So, method of arriving at the truth, we shall explain, and is because knowledge of the truth is the means of attainment of moksha. Mokshaya sadhanam, mokshasya sadhanam, moksha sadhanam. And this method of discerning the truth is taught to whom? Adhikarinam. Adhikari, you know very well, the one who is eligible, student, one who is qualified, is adhikari. So adhikarinam, for those who are eligible, those who are endowed with the qualification. And for a sampanna adhikarinam, I said sampat means wealth. So those who are endowed with this wealth of fourfold qualification. This is sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. So this here is a method of arriving at the truth taught, and this because knowledge of the truth is the means of attainment of moksha, and therefore this method is taught to those who are endowed with fourfold qualification. If a person is endowed with the fourfold qualification, itself is what? A wealth. Because you're eligible. The eligibility itself is wealth. Because knowledge is a greater wealth. Moksha is the greatest wealth, and this qualification required for the attainment of knowledge is also wealth. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. I'm repeating all these sentences because we are away for a long time. We are restarting the class today. So, I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to go ahead with the next line. So, if you ask with a question, you must know. Mokshasya sadhanam kim? Mokshaya sadhanam kim? You should be able to say, Mokshaya sadhanam, mokshasya sadhanam, tattva vivekaha, or tattva bodhaha, tattva jnanam. And tattva viveka prakaraha, kesham vakshyamaha, for whose sake we shall say this, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam, etc. You must know. We already explained this before the previous classes. Now, then a question comes. And as I said, like any other Vedantic treatise, Vedantic text, in this text also, the teaching is presented in the form of a dialogue between the teacher and the student. So here, what the teacher mentioned, this method of understanding the truth is taught only to those who are eligible, those who are qualified. And the qualifications are four. So the student is asking now, sadhana chatushtayam kim? So whoever is interested in attaining knowledge, whoever has purushartha nischayaha, whoever is committed to the pursuit of knowledge will naturally be interested in knowing what are those qualifications that I should be endowed with in order to be eligible for this knowledge, attaining this knowledge. Therefore, next question should be what? What are those qualifications? Instead of asking, sadhanani kani, chatvari sadhanani kani, what are those four qualifications? He is asking, what is the set of fourfold qualification? Sadhana chatushtayam kim? The four qualifications alone are given in the answer. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. I want you to understand. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Shamadi shatka sampattihi. Mumukshutvam cheti. We'll break it. Each sentence will break now. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha is the first qualification. So again, already you learned the meaning of this word vivekaha. Vivekaha is an abstract noun. Discriminative knowledge, discriminative understanding, vivekaha, discerning, vivichya jnanam vivekaha. So, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. So here, nitya, nityam or nityaha or nitya. Nitya means eternal, timeless. Anityam, anitya is time bound. So vastu means thing. Vivekaha. So discriminative understanding of what is timeless and what is time bound. So what is eternal, what is ephemeral? This itself is the first qualification. So we must definitely have discriminative understanding of what is timeless, what is time bound. So we do not know, we cannot know what is timeless. In fact, we are going to understand what is timeless. But one thing we must know here, everything here is time bound. The entire, in this entire objective universe, there is nothing which is timeless. Everything is subject to time limitation. So, the timeless is the reality, absolute reality. The truth of the universe alone is timeless. But the entire universe, every object here is time bound. And that it is the truth which is implied by the term Brahma. So, we are going to see that later on. So, first qualification is this discriminative understanding. We are going to understand later on, the question is going to come, what is this discriminative understanding of time bound and timeless? Then, when as an answer to this question, we will understand the meaning of this sentence. Next, Iha Amutra Artha Phala Bhoga Viragaha. Iha means here. Iha is an indeclinable word. Iha. Amutra is also navyaya padam, indeclinable word. Artha phala bhoga viragaha. So here if we take like vivekaha, Viragaha is also an abstract noun. Dispassion. Viragaha. So here, our detachment, dispassion, is viragaha. So here, dispassion towards what? Dispassion for what? So here, bhogaha. Bhogaha means enjoyment. Enjoyment of what? Enjoyment of phala. Phala means result. So result of what? Results of actions or experiences enjoyable here in this world. Iha means here. Amutra, hereafter. So dispassion towards the enjoyment of fruits of experience, fruits of actions or experiences here in this world and in the world hereafter, after death. So this is dispassion. What is dispassion? What are those experiences enjoyable here? What are the experiences enjoyable later? Etc. We'll understand when the question is going to be asked, the answer will be given, then we will understand. Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. Second qualification. How one can discover this passion? What is this passion? Dispassion towards what? Etc. Everything, elaborately, the meaning of this sentence we'll understand later on. Now you understand the literal meaning of this sentence. Later on, it will be explained. Third qualification. Just be with the text. Let us follow this teacher, of the author of this book. And he will see, by the time he concludes the book, we would have understood everything. There's a way how he presents the teaching. Third qualification. Shama adi shatka sampattihi. Shama adi shatka sampattihi. See, shama plus adi shamadi. Adi shabda. The word adi stands for etc. Shama adi means what? Shama etc. Shat means six. Shatkam, a set of six. So we have to add another word, discipline. A set of wealth of sixfold disciplines. So sampatti. Matihi is a feminine noun, like matihi. Sampattihi means wealth. Ikaranta strilinga shabda, sampattihi means wealth. So, a set of sixfold disciplines itself is a wealth. So, being endowed with these disciplines, six disciplines, is being endowed with the wealth. It's a wealth. Therefore, shamadi shatka sampattihi. So, shama adi. So, wealth of sixfold disciplines. A set of sixfold discipline. Such as shamaha. Or shamaha etc. And we are going to see what are those six disciplines. What are those six disciplines? How being endowed with those six disciplines itself becomes a third qualification. We'll see all that later on. Because each and every line, every qualification mentioned here is going to be elaborately discussed and explained in the following pages. The fourth qualification, mumukshutvam cheti. Mumukshutvam cha iti. Mumukshutvam cheti. And having given the list of three qualifications, to conclude, to mention the fourth qualification, the cha is used, cha, and mumukshutvam iti. So mumukshutvam, I explained in my previous class, I remember when I did for me Coimbatore, mumuksha, you must start from the word mokshaha. Mokshaha is a masculine noun which means freedom, liberation. And what is the synonym of the word mokshaha? Muktihi is a feminine noun. Like matihi, muktihi is a strilinga shabdaha. Mokshaha is a masculine word. And vimochanam is a neuter gender word. This I told many times in my introductory classes. I am reminding you again today. And desire for moksha is mumuksha. Is a akaranta strilinga shabdaha. Desire for moksha is mumuksha. Mokshaha masculine noun, but mumuksha is a desiderative word, a feminine gender word. Mumuksha. And mumukshuhu, yasya mumuksha asti saha mumukshuhu. The person who is desirous of attaining moksha, one who is desirous of freedom, is mumukshuhu, is a ukaranta shabdaha, masculine noun, masculine gender word, it's adjective or noun, mumukshuhu, one who is desirous of moksha. Mumukshuhu. So now we have learned three words, mokshaha, mumuksha, mumukshuhu. So mumukshuhu, whether a man or a woman, anybody, everybody can be a mumukshuhu. A woman can be a mumukshuhu, a man can be a mumukshuhu, but the word mumukshuhu is a masculine gender word. One who is desirous of mokshaha. And mukshutvam means, it's a noun, the having the status of being a mumukshuhu. Having the status of being a mumukshuhu is called mukshutvam, which means burning urge for mokshaha. Is mokshutvam. So first of all, for a person to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one must have purushartha nischayaha. One must have desire for moksha. One must have desire for liberation. And desire for moksha is already there. But one must discover the desire for moksha, which means one must understand moksha being the absolute, ultimate, choiceless, common human goal. Only then one can become committed to the pursuit of the attainment of moksha. And when a person becomes committed to the pursuit of moksha alone, having moksha as the ultimate goal, and in the context he can know the value of the knowledge, that is, knowledge being the means of attainment of moksha, then he can be committed to the pursuit of knowledge also. Therefore, mukshuttam itself is said to be the fourth qualification. Even though it is said to be the fourth qualification, it must be the first qualification. Isn't it? The burning urge for moksha must be there. In fact, to have mukshuttvam, one must be really mature. To be a mature person, to become committed, one must really see, understand what moksha is all about. If you do not understand what moksha is, how can you aspire for moksha? If I tell you, I'll give you chocolate, you must know what the word chocolate means. Only then the interest you will express. So here also, so understanding what moksha is very important, we'll see all that. So here, the urge for moksha is the fourth qualification, presented as a fourth qualification here, mukshutvam. So I have only given the literal meaning of these sentences here, because they are going to be explained later. Now please read the question and the answer after me, and you must memorize. Tattva Bodha must be memorized, because I am old now. I spent many years in this country and I haven't seen people have not really understood the teaching. Tattva Bodha, if I can make you memorize Tattva Bodha, understanding has gone into you, doesn't matter, if I can go back and go, and you will know how to continue your studies with the other things. Okay. Sadhana chatushtayam kim?
Sadhana
chatushtayam kim? Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha.
Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha.
Iha mutrartha phala bhoga viragaha.
Iha mutrartha phala
bhoga viragaha. Shamadi shatka sampatti. Mumukshutvancheti.
Mumukshutvancheti.
Okay. This also briefly I have already explained. Now homework increases. Okay, number of pages increase. Next. Now, when the teacher just enumerated four qualifications, now the student wants to know in detail what each qualification is. So what does it mean by saying the discriminative understanding of timeless and time bound? So he is asking the question, nitya 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 vastu vivekaha. Kaha, nitya nitya vastu vivekaha kaha, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha kaha. See, vivekaha is a masculine noun. Therefore, the question is what? Kaha, not kim, isn't it? Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha kaha. I told you, kaha is an interrogative masculine pronoun. Kim is an interrogative neuter pronoun. Ka is an interrogative feminine pronoun. But here you are using kaha. Why kaha? Why not ka? Why not kim? These you must remember. You must remember your Sanskrit class. Okay? Because vivekaha. Nitya nitya. Because you use the same kaha to ask who also. Kaha means who? Kaha means which? Kaha means what? But where it means what? Here you are not asking who is Viveka. Okay? Here you are asking what is Vivekaha? Nitya anitya vastu Vivekaha kaha. What is the first quality? He is asking, the student wants to know what is the first qualification. So what is the discriminative knowledge of timeless and time-bound? What is the discriminative understanding knowledge between the eternal and ephemeral? Okay, now the answer is given. Please see, the question is Nitya Nitya Vastu Vekaha Kaha. What is the answer? Nitya Vastu Yekam Brahma. Nitya Vastu Vekam Brahma. I'm reading that first. Nitya Vastu Vekam Brahma. Tad Vyatiriktam Sarvam Anityam. Nitya Vastu Yekam. Nitya Vastu Vekam. You will remember Yan Sandhi now. Okay? Nitya Vastu Yekam. Nitya Vastu Vekam. Brahma. Nitya Vastu Yekam. There is only one eternal. Eternal thing is one. And what is that? Ekam Brahma. Brahma. Nitya Vastu Ekam Brahma. The timeless is the reality Brahma. One. Tad Vyatiriktam. Tad means that. Vyatiriktam. See, Vyatirikta. Other than. Vyatirikta, other than. Vyatiriktam. Other than that Brahma. Everything else other than Brahma is time bound. Tad Vyatiriktam Sarvam. That Sarvam means everything. Tad Vyatiriktam Sarvam. Everything other than the reality, only reality implied by the term Brahma. Everything else is anityam, time bound, subject to time. If we understand absolute reality implied by the term Brahman alone is timeless, eternal. Other than that, everything else here is time bound. And this understanding is called Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. So he says, I am Eva. I am this. Eva e, this alone. I am Eva. This alone is discriminative understanding of time bound, the timeless and time bound. This alone is I am Eva. I am Eva means what? This alone. I am Eva. This alone is discriminative understanding, knowledge of timeless and time bound. I am Eva Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. Now, he is going to ask again, what is Nitya Vastu Brahma? He is going to ask. So don't worry. You understand every sentence, that's enough. It's going to be explained later on. Now ask the question, Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha Kaha. Say, Vastu Vivekaha Kaha. Nitya Nitya Vastu Ekam Brahma. 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 Tad Vyatiriktam. Vyatiriktam sarvam anityam. Tad vyatiriktam sarvam anityam. I am Eva. ayameva nitya nitya vastu vivekah.
Nitya nitya vastu vivekah.
See, Shastram tells, this we do not know what is absolutely eternal. We do not know. When we are exposed to the teaching, and first of all when Shastram makes us understand the moksha being the ultimate goal, and we have Shraddha in the teaching, then we listen and we understand how Brahman, there is absolute reality, there is ultimate truth of this entire cosmos, and without which the life is impossible, without which world is impossible, without which creation is impossible, without which there cannot be something called this universe at all. That is what is the reality. So with reference to an ornament, we say gold is the reality. Why? You remove the gold, ornament will disappear. With reference to ocean, we say water is the reality. Why? Because we remove the water, ocean will disappear. With reference to furniture, we say wood is the reality. Because if you remove the wood, furniture will disappear. You can't find a chair or sofa there. Which, like this, it's all relative reality. With reference to a given thing, something is reality. But there is an absolute reality with reference to this entire cosmos. Which means with reference to time, there is one reality. With reference to space, there is a reality. Without which there cannot be something called time. Without which there cannot be something called space. Without which there cannot be something called form. Without which there cannot be something called name. Without which there cannot be something called function. Without which there cannot be something called action. Without which there cannot be something called results of action. Without which there cannot be something called law which determines the result of action. Without which there cannot be something called experience. Without which there cannot be something called experience of pairs of opposites. Without which there cannot be birth or death or experience of pairs of opposites. Therefore, there is something, there is a reality, the only reality, one and the only reality with reference to this entire cosmos, the entire universe, the entire life. And that reality is the absolute reality. How do we know? Shastram talks about it. And that reality alone is implied by the term Brahma. And it is this reality which alone is eternal, which alone is permanent, which alone is timeless. Why? Because it has no beginning, it has no end. Not only it has no beginning and end, it exists independent of everything else. And it is not subject to change. Therefore, timeless means beginningless, endless, changeless, independent reality is Brahma, and that alone is permanent, timeless. Nitya vastu ekam Brahma. And other than that Brahma, we do not know what that reality is. We do not know what is that beginningless, endless, changeless, absolute reality implied by the term Brahma. But there is. Now we only know there is reality. How do we know there is reality? Because Shastram says. And how do we know? What is the proof? Because the universe is. And the truth of the universe must be. If we see the ocean, there must be water. If you see the furniture, there must be the wood. If you see the ornament, there must be the gold. Like that, there must be the truth of this universe. The truth is, we understand. But we do not know what the truth is, how the truth is. And that only reality alone is timeless. other than that reality, everything else is anityam, means time is time bound, space is time bound, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space are time bound. All the actions are time bound, functions are time bound, the results of actions are time bound, the laws which determine the results are time bound. And even the paths of opposites, experience, the experience, any experience, every experience of anything, all paths of opposites is time bound. There is no permanent experience. Everything is time bound. Therefore, the entire universe is time bound. So, other than Brahma, everything else is time bound. If this discriminative, this understanding is said to be the discriminative understanding of timeless and time bound. Discriminative knowledge between the timeless and the time bound, eternal and the ephemeral. So, nitya nitya vastvekam Brahma. Nitya vastvekam Brahma tadvyatiriktam anyat sarvam anityam ayameva nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. This is the literal, again literal meaning. Okay, everything will be elaborately discussed. Next question is coming. The student is asking, okay, we'll see later on what it is. Now, what is this dispassion? What is this detachment? Viragaha kaha. What is dispassion? So the answer is given. Say now, viragaha kaha.
Viragaha kaha.
Iha.
Swarga
bhogeshu.
Swarga bhogeshu.
Iha swarga bhogeshu.
Iha swarga bhogeshu.
Icharahityam.
Icharahityam.
See, iha amutra. In the place of amutra, here in the answer he uses the word swarga. So, iha means here in this life, while living this life here in this world now. Iha. Bogeshu icharahityam. Rahityam means absence. Rahita means without, devoid of. So, rahityam, noun, absence. Absence of desire. Icchayaha rahityam, iccha rahityam. Viruppaminmai. In what? Absence of desire in what? Bhogeshu. Naturally, you're not controlling the desire. Please understand, desires, you are controlling the desire, it is not dispassion, it is not controlling the desire or control of the desire. You are not giving up the desire. Nobody can give up the desire. You cannot give up the desire. That's why giving up, it's not giving up the desire. It is not controlling the desire. It is not suppressing the desire. It is not oppressing the desire. Okay? It is not getting rid of the desire. Then what is Icharahityam? Naturally growing out of desire. Absence of desire means naturally growing out of desire. Desire for what? Desire for a desire in, a desire for the enjoyment. Even the locative case is used, desire for the enjoyment. Bhogaha means enjoyment. In enjoyment or for enjoying. The pleasures. Naturally having grown out of desire for the enjoyment of pleasures, pleasures enjoyable in this world while living this life here now. So Shastram does not say you should not enjoy pleasures. Please be very careful. Shastram does not say you should not enjoy pleasures. In fact, Shastram wants us to enjoy the pleasures. But Shastram explains here what is dispassion. Naturally growing out of desire for the enjoyment of pleasures. Pleasures enjoyable when? While living this life here now in this world. Iha. So, iha bhogeshu iccha rahityam. Results are what? Pleasures, how do we have pleasures? As results of actions. We perform actions. We have desires. We perform actions. And the actions produce the results. And the results, and that there is, we enjoy the pleasure. So, naturally having grown out of desire for the enjoyment of pleasures, gained as results of actions now in this world, is not only that, there are some people who are interested in enjoying the pleasures experienceable in heaven. How do we know? There are heavenly pleasures. We do not know. You know, it's like our some travel agent, you know, and they advertise. We do not know what is Malta, okay? I never knew the word Malta. And they talk about Malta, what is available, what are the good restaurants, what are the foods available, what is the food available, what are the places available, and which are the best hotels, and how the rooms look, and what are the how the natural beauty is and what all things you can see there. Like explain. Always, you know, the tourism promoters. And they explain and explain. They describe. And then reading it repeatedly and getting too many emails. And slowly the desire comes. Okay? Which means what? The desire to enjoy how I want to go and experience how Malta is. Isn't it? Like that, our Shastram also talks about heaven. Luckily, we have not studied Shastram to that extent that where heaven is highly glorified, praised. How heavenly life is. We do not know. And if you are exposed to teaching, if you know how the heavenly pleasures are, who are the musicians, who are the dancers? What is that you can enjoy? What are things you can enjoy there? Etc. etc. They talk about. And naturally, why should I be stuck here in this world alone? Why not I go to heaven? Why can't I enjoy heavenly pleasures also? And how can I accomplish them? Then Shastram tells, okay, do this yajna, do this ritual, and do this meditation, and earn punyam, have this much money, buy this ticket to go to this place. Like that, have punyam and get yourself, have punyam. And you can go to heaven and enjoy the pleasures. So some people are interested in that, but for which you have to leave this physical body. You can go only after death. That's why amutra. Okay? Amutra means what? A hereafter. So, and if you have purushartha nischaya, moksha, if you know, moksha is only in knowing the truth, means naturally, only in knowing the truth, timeless reality, Brahma, of my freedom is, my liberation is. How many of pleasures I enjoy, how much of pleasures I enjoy, still I will be bound. I'll be subject to limitation. Means, naturally, I'll grow out of desire for enjoyment of pleasures also. Which means, by knowing the limitations of what enjoyment of pleasures can give, what enjoyment of pleasures cannot give. When a person understands the limitation of what? Limitation that enjoyment of pleasures, what they can give, what they cannot give. And what I actually want is permanent happiness, everlasting happiness. What I want is everlasting happiness, everlasting sorrowlessness, fullness. And that is called moksha. And other than knowledge of the truth, other than the discriminative understanding of timeless and time-bound, other than knowledge of the truth, nothing else will give me that freedom. We understand this fact, and understanding of this fact will naturally help one grow out of desire for this time-bound pleasures. Why? Enjoyment of pleasure is time-bound. Because pleasure is time-bound. Because any pleasure enjoyable is result of action. And result of action is time-bound. Because action is time-bound. How can time-bound action produce timeless result? And how can timeless result in terms of experience of pleasure be timeless? Therefore, time-bound result, time-bound experience, time-bound pleasure can only give me time-bound pleasure. It cannot give me everlasting, timeless happiness. This is what understanding the limitation of enjoyment of pleasures. When a person understands the limitation of the enjoyment of pleasures, that they cannot give me what I seek, what I want, they naturally grow out of desire for enjoyment of pleasures, not only in this world, they are not least bothered, they are not interested in enjoyment of heavenly pleasures also. I don't care however the heaven looks, I don't care whatever the heavenly pleasures are, I am not interested at all. Why? After all, they are time bound in nature. Okay? And this is called what? So naturally growing out of desire for enjoyment of pleasures enjoyable here in this world while living, or enjoyable pleasures later on after death in heaven, even heavenly pleasures. This is called dispassion. So what is dispassion now? Dispassion is naturally growing out of desire for the enjoyment of pleasures, knowing their limitations, that they cannot give me what I want. Okay. Viragaha kaha. So, iha amutra. Earlier you learnt, iha amutra artha palabhogeshu viragaha. You learnt. And here given a small definition. Iha swarga bhogeshu iccha rahityam. Say, iha swarga bhogeshu iccha rahityam. Okay. Is it time?
10 past 11.
Okay, let me quickly, again last class where I stopped, I had to stop again. Now third qualification, Shamadi sadhana sampattihi ka. Shamadi sadhana sampattihi ka. Or, in fact, shatka sampattihi. It must be shatka sampattihi, not sadhana sampattihi. Okay. Shamadi shatka sampattihi ka. Look at this. First, viragaha kaha, vivekaha kaha. We are used interrogative pronoun used to mean what was kaha. Now ka. Ka also means what. It's a feminine interrogative pronoun. So because sampattihi means wealth, it's a feminine gender word. Sampattihi. So what is the wealth of sixfold disciplines? shamadi shatka sampattihi ka. Say shamadi shatka sampattihi ka. Okay, now the answer is given. Just what are those sixfold disciplines? Shamo, say
Dama,
Dama. Uparamastitiksha. Uparamastitiksha. Shraddha. Samadhanam. Cheti. Shamodama uparamastitiksha. Uparamastitiksha. Shraddha samadhanam cheti. Now, instead of sadhana, make it shatka sampatti. Shatka. Okay? Shamadi shatka sampatti hi ka.
Shamadi shatka sampatti hi ka.
Shamodama. Shamodama uparamastitiksha.
Uparamastitiksha.
Shraddha samadhanam cheti.
Shraddha samadhanam cheti.
Shamodama uparamastitiksha. Shraddha samadhanam cheti.
Shamodama uparamastitiksha.
Shamodama uparamastitiksha. Shraddha samadhanam cheti. Now break it. Shamaha,
Damaha.
See, Visarga is dropped there. Shamaha,
Damaha,
Uparamaha, Titiksha. See, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Uparamas. Titiksha.
Uparamaha.
See, in first place, I'm going to teach Visarga Sandhi in the following class. Visarga, first place, you can become O. Then Visarga got dropped. Then it becomes is. When Visarga becomes Sakara, when it becomes that Okara, when it becomes dropped, you will have to learn that, isn't it? Shamaha, say.
Shamaha.
Damaha.
Damaha.
Uparamaha.
Uparamaha.
Titiksha.
Titiksha.
Shraddha.
Shraddha.
Samadhanam cheti.
Samadhanam cheti.
Shamaha. Damaha. Uparamaha.
Shamaha. Damaha. Uparamaha.
Titiksha.
Titiksha.
Shraddha.
Shraddha.
Samadhanam cheti.
Samadhanam cheti.
See, when you're breaking it, you must see that I must hear Visarga sound, okay? Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, Cha Iti. Okay? Okay, just he enumerated sixfold disciplines. Now we have to see what each discipline is. Okay? Now, shamaha.
Shamaha.
Shamaha, simply you can say shantihi. Shamaha is a masculine noun. What is the corresponding feminine noun? Shantihi. Shantihi means what? Peace. Peace means peace of what? Peace of mind, which means a mental discipline. Peace means mental discipline. Mastery over one's ways of thinking, thought. Okay. We'll see that later on. Then, Damaha.
Damaha
means sensory discipline. Again, Swamiji never used the word control. I don't know how the word has come here. Okay. Better, I don't want to say anything about anybody. Mastery over one sense organs. Because who are we to control? Isn't it? There's no such thing called control. It's only mastery. Okay. Then Uparamaha.
Uparamaha.
Uparamaha, actually withdrawing oneself from everything else other than one's own duties. which means commitment to the performance of one's own duties. So, observance of one's own duties is uparamaha. See, if you have to do only your duties, you must definitely withdraw yourself from everything else. That is what implied by the word uparamaha. Uparamaha or uparatihi. That day I told you, shamaha is equal to shantihi. Damaha is equal to dantihi. Uparamaha is equal to uparatihi. Now, fourth is what? Titiksha. Titiksha is already a feminine noun. It is titiksha. It means forbearance, tolerance, endurance. Then shraddha. No, unflinching faith. Trust. Then samadhanam. Samadhanam means being focused. Not being distracted. Being focused. So single pointedness. Samadhanam. Now, even though we have understood the literal meaning of these sixfold disciplines, and we have to see each discipline elaborately. I think this is the portion I think I left. I haven't read it, isn't it? Okay. Now quickly we read the six and we'll stop. Shamaha kaha.
Shamaha kaha.
Now shamaha is a masculine word. Therefore, kaha. Suppose it is shantihi ka.
Shanti.
It can be asked shantihi ka. Shamaha kaha. Shamaha kaha. Or you can also ask as what? Kaha shamaha. Why can't you can put that way also? Mano nigraha.
Mano nigraha.
You must know the question and the answer. It's called binary answer, okay? One word answer. Shamaha kaha. Mano nigraha. If you break it, mano nigraha. Manaha nigraha. Because mano nigraha. Manasaha nigraha. Manasaha nigraha. Mana nigraha. Because mano nigraha. Okay. Nigraha literally means control. Okay. Literally it means control. But mano nigraha, it means, okay, resolving the thoughts, resolution of the thoughts, having the thoughts resolved is what? Having the peaceful mind. So having the peaceful mind, having your thoughts resolved means having mastery over your thoughts. It means having mastery over your ways of thinking. Okay. And we'll unfold it. I'll explain that because it needs a lot of explanation. I will do that. But now let me just read out those sentence words. Then I'll unfold those. Because each discipline I'll explain clearly next class. Next time see you online. Now we'll read it. Damaha kaha.
Damaha kaha.
Chakshuradi.
Chakshuradi.
Bahyendriya.
Bahyendriya.
Nigraha.
Nigraha.
Chakshuhu.
Chakshuhu.
Adi.
Adi.
Chakshuradi.
Chakshuradi.
If you break it, chakshuhu adi chakshuradi.
Bahya
indriya nigraha. Chakshuhu means seeing power, eye. Indriyam means sense power. Chakshuradi bahya indriya means external power, isn't it? Bahya indriyam, external organ of knowledge. So mind is internal organ of knowledge. It's called antahkaranam. The sense organs are called bahya indriyani. So, external organ of knowledge is called Bahya Indriyam. Mind is Antahkaranam Antarindriyam. Now, Nigraha again, mastery. So mastery over external organs of knowledge, such as, sense powers, such as seeing power. Okay, there are, five sense powers we have, which serve as five external organs of knowledge, and have mastery over them is called what? Bahya Indriya Nigraha. What are the Bahya Indriyani? What are those external sense organs? You say Chakshuradi, Chakshuhu, etc. Seeing power, etc. So seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch. We are going to see them. What are those five? We are going to see later on in the class itself. Okay? We are going to see elaborately Rupa, Sparsha, etc. We are going to see. Now understand this much. So Bahyendriya, Chakshuradi, Chakshuhu Adi, Chakshuradi, Bahya Indriya Nigraha, Bahya Indriya, Bahyendriya Nigraha. So mastery over the external organs of knowledge, such as seeing power, which means all the five sense organs. Okay. Literal meaning we'll see, and then we'll see, and we'll go through every discipline separately. Uparamaha kaha, say.
Uparamaha kaha.
Uparatihi ka.
Uparatihi ka.
Swadharma, say.
Swadharma.
Anushthanameva.
Anushthanameva.
Swadharma anushthanameva. Swadharma anushthanameva.
Swadharma anushthanameva.
So I want to understand. Anutishtati. Say.
Anutishtati
verb. Is it? Anu is the prefix. Anutishtati follows. Not as a noun. Anusthanam becomes anushthanam. Anushthanam. Observing. Following. Doing. Anushthanam. Swadharma means one's own duties. So observance of one's own duties. Is it? So performing one's own duties to the exclusion of everything else. So paradharma anushthanam is not. Okay? Swadharma anushthanam. Being knowing one's duties and doing one's duties. Being dutiful, isn't it? Is swadharma anushthanam. Sometimes what we do others' work. Paradharma. Okay? You ignore, you neglect your duty, and you go and do something which is not your duty. Isn't it? That's not right. So, Shastram definitely strictly says, no, first you do your duty. Swadharma anushthanam eva uparamaha. Okay? In fact, next. Titiksha ka.
Titiksha ka.
Titiksha means endurance. So here, what is endurance? Enduring what? It is said, Shitoshna.
Sukha
dukkhadi.
Sahishnutvam.
Okay. Shitoshna.
Sukha
dukkhadi.
Sahishnutvam.
Okay. See, sahate. Sahate means endures. Verb, atmanepadam. Sahate. Sahishnuhu means the person who endures. The enduring person. Sahishnutvam means having the endurance. So, enduring what? So, it says, pairs of opposites. Because life is full of pairs of opposites. Shita, Ushna, Shitoshna. You must remember Gunasandhi. Shita, Ushna, Shitoshna. Sukha, Dukkha, Sukha, Dukkha. Adi, etc. See, heat and cold, the cold and heat, pleasure and pain, etc. means what? There are so many other things, pairs of opposites, isn't it? Etc. So remaining the same, enduring all the pairs of opposites, such as heat and cold, pleasure and pain, etc. Isn't it? Means remaining the same in all situations. Remaining the same in all situations is enduring them with sameness of mind. It's called titiksha. So we don't feel elated when pleasure comes. We don't feel dejected when pain comes. You feel dejected when pain comes, and you feel elated when pleasure comes, there's no endurance. Isn't it? So endurance means without complaining, entertaining the sameness of mind in all situations, remaining the same is what? In fact, endurance. We understand elaborately that one. Now understand this much. Titiksha ka means endurance of pairs of opposites, such as heat and cold, etc. Okay, last. Shaddha kidrushi. Shaddha kidrushi. What sort of faith is it? Kidrushi is a feminine. Is it kidrushaha, masculine? Kidrushi, feminine. And shaddha kidrushi, what sort of faith is it? Is the question here. Shaddha kidrushi. He had asked, what is shraddha? Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu. See?
Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu.
Vishwasaha.
Vishwasaha.
Shraddha.
Shraddha.
Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu.
Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu.
Vishwasaha.
Vishwasaha.
Shraddha. So Vishwasaha also means, it's a masculine noun. Vishwasaha means faith. Is it? Vishwasaha. Unflinching faith in the teaching. Vakyeshu means in the sentences. Sentences means in words. In words means in teaching. So, unflinching faith in the teaching of Vedanta Shastram. The subject matter of the Vedanta and the teaching of the Guru. Unflinching faith in the words of the scripture and the teacher. Because the teacher should not differ from what the scripture says. Should not, what the teaching should not be different from what the scripture says, isn't it? The teacher only brings to light the subject matter of the scripture. Therefore, having unflinching faith in the words of the teaching, the scripture and the teacher. Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu Shraddha. Say?
Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu
Samadhanam kim.
Samadhanam kim.
With this I'll stop. Chitta ekagrata.
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 Chitta
ekagrata. Chittai kagrata. So here, being focused, being single point, it means not being distracted by many things, not forgetting the absolute ultimate end being moksha, not forgetting the knowledge being only means of attainment of moksha. So not being attainment of knowledge being the ultimate goal of life, not forgetting that. So whatever I do so many things, I do my duties, I do a lot of other things, but ultimately I am doing all that I have to do to prepare my mind for knowledge. I may be doing so many things, I may be enjoying pleasures, I may be doing my duties, No, even though I'm involved in this, caught up in this life, busy life, doing my duties, looking after my things and all that, I should not forget I'm doing all these things ultimately to prepare my mind for jnana. And knowledge is my ultimate goal, which itself is moksha. Understand? This is called what? Being focused. Not losing sight of one's ultimate end being moksha in terms of knowledge. It's called what? Chitta ekagrata. Chitta ekagrata. Okay. Being focused. Okay. This I have said briefly now. Now, is enough. We will see. I'm going to elaborate on everything again. So that the class itself should become, everything must become thorough in the class itself. So what you do, the homework is to read the text first and see until this point. Please memorize the text first. Then read the pages, the unfoldment of Puja Swamiji's words. If you find any difficulty there in understanding what is being said there, you know, reading Swamiji's explanation is like eating rasgulla. You should go effortlessly, you must be able to gulp. It's not even chocolate. Chocolate will stick. Okay, rasgulla, you put in your mouth, it will go into your mouth. Okay? You must be able to read it. You read it. Please read it. And see that you are thorough with until whatever we have read today. Okay, read the Mukshuttam now. Until three qualifications, you must be thorough with. You must know the Sanskritam. You must know how to break it. You must know without breaking how to read without breaking and breaking it and the simple literal meaning and the unfoldment. Please read and understand and come and I will again go through each discipline separately. Okay? And when as we progress further, if Tattva Bodha goes into you, goes through you, it's enough. Now we are going through the Tattva Bodha. As Swamiji says, the Tattva Bodha should go through you. Then it's easy for me to teach any other text.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.